the most profound truth was. And he thought for a moment, and he said, "Is the truth, Jesus loves me." And that is why the Lord never set his love upon us, is a great mystery, but he did. I'm going to bow in prayer, ask the Lord to help and bless tonight. Our God and Father, we bow humbly and reverently in your presence. We do so in the precious and the lovely name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Redeemer. We thank thee for this night, when our Sunday school can come together, when the classes can take part, when we can think about the things of God, and our children can recite and sing and do their little plays, and our minds and hearts are drawn to think about those great truths of the gospel and the things that they learn week by week in Sunday school. We thank thee for this great truth, that Jesus loves me. We praise thee that God loved this world of sinners lost and ruined by the fall. We thank thee that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And we know tonight that the greatest manifestation of the love of God is in Christ and what he came to do. We praise thee for the Savior who loved us and gave himself for us. We thank thee for the perfect life of Jesus Christ. We thank thee that he was obedient. We were the disobedient. We had broken your law, but Jesus kept it on our behalf. And we thank thee for the death of Christ upon the cross, because we know that there on Calvary's Hill, he took our place. He bore our sin. He was punished that we might go free and have everlasting life. We thank thee that through faith in him, we can be saved. We pray for our children. We thank thee for them. Thank thee for every teacher that gathers them around their feet on the Lord's Day, teaches them the good things of God. We thank thee that they grow up hearing the gospel. And it is our prayer that all of the children that pass this way through our Sunday school will come to a true knowledge of Jesus Christ as their Savior, that one day we will meet them in the glory land, in heaven itself. Save the children, save the families they come from. Bless tonight, help the children take part, to remember their pieces, and Lord, may we be blessed indeed for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let me welcome you tonight, children. Good to see you, looking so well, and at this time of the night, not tired yet. And we hope that that continues, that you stay awake, and you're able to listen to everybody taking part tonight. And then the prizes are at the end as well. So that's something to really look forward to. We have a program here. I want to thank our teachers, our Sunday school superintendent, all the hard work that goes in to making tonight possible. You know, all those practices that the children came to on a Thursday night. And then last Thursday night, I was able to sit for part of the time and listen. They were doing really well. But you know, every Thursday night before the social, the teachers always say, it's a wee bit rumbly. And then on the night, it usually comes together. So we're looking forward to it. We have a piece now that is going to be sung, I'm in the Lord's Army. So we're going to ask the following children to come forward: Ella Irwin, Lexi McGookin, Maggie Grace McClernan, Arthur Newell, Lewis McConaughey, Robert Watley, Andrew Archibald, Taylor Elliott, Haley Jane Gray, Faye Campbell, Isabella Brennan, Grace McCandless, is it Casey Connor? Just to get the pronunciation right. And there's another Casey McGookin. And then there's Parry Ann. I think I know Parry Ann. She was up here a wee minute ago. And she's going to have the opportunity to come up again. Parry Ann Ejaz. Reuben Borland. I think I know him too. Kobe McAfee and Lewis Parrock. All those children come up and we're going to listen to you sing. Thank you. Well, they had a wee practice, didn't they? Didn't realize that was the one they were singing. That was lovely, children. Thank you very much. We're now going to have God is Always Near Me. This is another singing piece. I'm going to ask Naomi Johnson, Millie Blair, Alice McLernan, and Leila McBride Haji. Is that right? Come forward, please. Thank you very much. Thank you for singing tonight. The choir is going to sing now. So we'll get all the children up if you want to come in the order that you come. Maybe it's the big ones at the back first or even the wee ones at the front, whatever you want to do. All right. That's lovely. Very keen to get up. And the choir is going to sing All Things Work Together in just a minute.
And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose.
Lovely. Thank you very much. Sung really well. Came together, teachers. Just before the other ones come, they're away getting ready. We're going to sing a wee chorus, if I can remember what one I had in my mind. Away Far Be in Jordan. All right. And you shake hands on this one, so I think that'll bring the big ones back to their childhood too.
Thank you.
right? If you're not shaking hands, shake hands with the person beside you. Kind of cross over your arms and shake hands that way. All right? Teachers, help the wee ones. Daniel was a man of prayer. Daily he prayed three times. You're listening. Entitled God Can Use You Too, and it's recitation and singing by Jake Borland, Tommy Watley, Adam Archibald, Jemima Owens, Charlie Newell, Seth Campbell, Kyle Connor, Bethania McBride Haji, Emily Parrock, and Lewis Elliott. All right, thank you.
We come to worship God the Lord. We praise Him and we sing. He takes and uses simple tools for any amazing thing.
An ox goad was a pointy stick that poked the cows back then, but Shamgar used it as a sword and beat 600 men.
Well, David was a shepherd boy. He used a stone and sling to beat the big bad giant down God made of him a king.
Rahab just had a scarlet string which God told her to throw. She did as she was told to do, and God, He blessed her so.
Samson did not use sword and shield, but jawbone of a meal. He slew 1,000 Philistines using that strange wee tool.
Aaron the priest, he had a rod, it blossomed like a tree. It was a picture of a Lord who died for men like me.
Dorcas had a tiny needle to make some coats out of it. With Fred, when Dorcas fell sick and sore, God raised her from the dead.
A box of smelling perfume oil she poured upon the Lord.
If God can use these wee small things, His work and will to do. And God can use weak boys and girls, and He can use you too.
Shamgar had an ox goat, David had a sling, Dorcas had a needle, Rahab had a string, Samson had a jawbone, Aaron had a rod, Mary had some ointment, but they all were used for God.
Thank you for reciting and for singing, children. You did very, very well. The next item is a sketch, and it's entitled The Bench. And we're going to ask Sarah Glenn, Scott Blair, Jordan McCauley, Toby McCauley, Rebecca Blair, Cherith Galt, Abby Halliday, Sarah Johnson, and Catherine McCauley to come. Thank you.
Wonder what you're doing.
Yes, that's right. Before I go to work.
And I always spend the rest of my run wondering who you are.
I'm Charlie. I work in the big farm just over the hill.
Nice to meet you, Charlie. My name is Robert.
So, why did you stop and talk to me today?
You might not understand, but when I'm out running, I have a lot of time to think, and I usually talk to myself.
Okay. I can't say that I've ever heard you talk before.
Oh, I talk silently to God. I am praying to God. I'm a Christian.
Ah, I see.
Pray to God about you, Charlie. I wonder if you are saved or not. And if you're not saved, should I stop and tell you more about Jesus? I pray for courage, and today God has given me enough courage to actually stop and talk to you.
I see.
Well, since I've let the cat out of the bag, do you know who Jesus Christ is?
My parents were both saved, and they took me to Sunday school every week when I was a boy. I learned Bible verses and choruses. Let me see if I can remember.
25 words in John 3:16. No greater text has ever been seen. 12 of our God and 12 of our three. Sun in the center, verse 16, John 3. That whosoever surely means me. Surely.
But I don't go to church, Robert. I haven't been to church since Sunday school. I am sorry, Robert, but I am just not interested in getting saved.
Oh. Well, if you ever change your mind, please promise me that you will tell me, and I am very happy to tell you more about my Saviour.
Okay, I don't think I will, but thanks anyway.
Enjoy the rest of your day.
I have a Savior, he's pleading in glory. A dear, loving Savior, the world friends me few. And now he is watching in tenderness o'er me and all that my Savior were your Savior too. For you I am praying, for you I am praying, for you I am praying, I'm praying.
Oh, good morning, Charlie. Good morning, Charlie.
Excuse me?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were someone else.
Did you know Charlie?
Yes, I met him last week. Why do you know him?
I did. He and I worked together up on a farm in the estate hill. He used to sit here every morning and read the newspaper.
Did something happen to him?
He died last night, just after work. Very unexpectedly. They say it was his heart.
What?
Yes, here's a death notice.
I knew it. I should have spoken sooner. I was too late.
I thought I would just sit here for a short time and remember him.
I should have spoken sooner. I was too late. I was too late.
Too late for what? What are you on about, man?
Oh, you wouldn't understand.
Understand what? What are you on about? You seem to be in a bad way.
When I saw Charlie last week, I tried to tell him about Jesus and his need for salvation.
Ah, you're the one.
What do you mean I'm the one?
I've tried to witness to Charlie for many years now, but he was never interested until last week. He said that one morning a young man stopped with him and tried to tell him about Jesus.
And?
There was a gospel mission taking place at my church, and I invited Charlie to come with me many times, but he always had an excuse. Until last week, he told me and then asked me about God's plan for salvation. He then asked me if he could come to the gospel mission with me. Of course, I was delighted that he wanted to come. And that night, the evangelist preached in the conversion of the Philippian jailer. That night, Charlie got saved.
God is so good. That is absolutely amazing. That is truly wonderful.
My friend, you were not too late in telling Charlie about Jesus. You were just in time.
Life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheep.
sweetly, and for the young men, for what they did, really enjoyed that. The Sweet Truth is a piece that is going to be recited now by Sophie McCauley and Luke McCauley.
Tell a story, the best news you'll ever hear. It's about Jesus dying on the cross and how he could be brought near. So hold them and turn them and you will see the M becomes a W, E, and then a 3. The E stands for Easter, God's everlasting love and his eternal plan, and it reminds us of the cross and how God rescued sinful man.
The 3 represents the 3 days Jesus spent in the grave. By his death, his children he did save. The M reminds us of the mercy the Messiah showed as he died in our place, the miracle of resurrection, so we could see him face to face. The W reminds us that he alone is worthy of our worship and our praise and calls us to be his witnesses around the world for all our days.
Thank you. That was a lot to remember. You did very, very well. I'm going to have a science lesson now. I'm sure science was always your favorite subject at school. And this science lesson is about salvation. Kyle Blair, Elijah Owens, Joa Owens, Lucas Blair, and Lennon Blair.
Professor Blair, and these are my colleagues.
We are here to conduct the science experiment to illustrate salvation.
The Bible teaches that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
This jump represents sin. We are told in Isaiah 1 verse 18 that sin is like a scarlet colour.
Why would God say sin is that colour?
Well, in Bible times, scarlet was a deep colour and it was permanent. This reminds us that sin is deep in our hearts and there's nothing we can do to take it away.
This is me.
Did you know that you were born in sin? As we grow up, we sin every day.
What happens when I tell a lie? What happens if I take something that doesn't belong to me? What happens if I fight with my brother?
Through life, we keep getting more and more sinful.
How do I get rid of my sin?
Jesus Christ came in the world to take away our sin.
This is where the story of Jesus comes in.
Jesus is without sin. There's
no spot of him.
No spot of sin in him.
The Bible teaches that my sins were laid upon him.
When I come to Jesus and receive him as my Saviour, he'll take away my sins and give me his righteousness and make me clean.
And And if I come to Jesus, he'll save me and make me clean.
You must look at him by faith. The Bible says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world."
Thank you for teaching us this important lesson.
We hope you have learned about salvation.
Piece by piece, the teacher's just a sigh of relief. We've got through it. And we thank the young men, the young professors. Maybe one of them will be a famous scientist someday. Let me welcome you to our Sabbath School Social tonight. Good to see parents and grandparents, friends, family members that have come. And lovely to see the children. And they've been practicing so hard for tonight. Thank you, children, for coming. Thank you to the Sunday School Superintendent and to the teachers and to the parents for all the work that you've put into tonight. Children do have a priority in this church. We believe in what the Scripture says, that we are to bring up our children in the ways of the Lord. We are to teach them at every given opportunity. And when you send your children to Sunday school, they will be taught the things of God. And the Scriptures will be opened, and they will be taught the things of the Lord. Now, I've just a couple of announcements to make. Services tomorrow, do remember, from the prayer meeting on through to the gospel service. The Reverend Irwin will be here to preach. And then also Easter Sunday, the morning service or the noon service at 12 noon, the cantata choir will be taking part. And that's a piece that blessed us last year, and we invite you to come. It's worthwhile hearing what they have to say and what they have to sing. That's Easter Sunday, 12 noon. And then tea will be served tonight for everyone, and juice for the children or for the adults that would rather have the juice instead of tea, and something to eat. Now, we're going to sing a hymn, and we're going to have an offering. This offering always goes to our children's work. 692 is a very well-known children's hymn. We're going to sing it together. If you didn't come prepared to give an offering, don't worry about that. Just pass on the plate to the next person. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones, to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. 692.
Yeah.
for your help. Wouldn't you just love to have her energy? The old violin. This is a sketch now by the following children: Kerry Halliday, Samuel Picken, Jordan McCauley, Keziah Owens, Toby McCauley, Scott Blair, Isaac Atkinson, and Jonathan Ray.
Lot 23, the old violin.
'Twas battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it hardly worth his while to waste his time on the old violin, but he held it up with a smile.
"What am I bid, good people?"
he cried.
"Who starts the bidding for me?" £1.
£1.
"Do I hear two?"
£2.
"Who makes it three?"
£3.
"Once 3 pounds, twice going for three."
But no, from the room far back, a grey-bearded man came forward and picked up the bow, then wiping the dust from the old violin and tightening up the strings, he played a melody, pure and sweet as the angel sings.
Please sing along.
"I have a song that Jesus gave me. It was sent from heaven above. There never was a sweeter melody. 'Tis a melody of love. Everybody in our heart there is a melody. There is a melody, there is a melody, there is a melody, there is a melody.
The music ceased, and the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said,
"What now am I bid for this old violin?"
As he held it aloft with its bow.
1,000.
Do I hear 2?
2,000.
Who makes it 3?
3,000.
3,000 once, 3,000 twice, going, gone,
said he. The audience cheered. But some of them cried,
"We just don't understand. What change is it worth?"
Swift came the reply,
"The touch of the master's hand."
And many a man with life out of tune, all battered and bruised with hardship, is auctioned cheap to a thoughtless crowd, much like that old violin. A mess of pottage, a glass of wine, a game, and he travels on. He is going once, he is going twice, he is going and almost gone. But the master comes, and the foolish crowd can never quite understand the worth of a soul and the change that is wrought by the touch of the master's hand.
Who have taken part tonight and all the little bits and pieces of their talents coming out there. Another piece is going to be sung just now, Knowing Christ. Alicia Morrison, Bethany Fletcher, Sarah Halliday, and Sophia McCandless.
Thank you. Thank you very much, ladies. That's the junior quartet of the little ones growing up in the church. Thank you for singing so sweetly. The Heaven-Bound Train, and this is a sketch by Elisa Nicol, Ellie McLernan, Lydia Owens, Emma Dunlop, Leah Atkinson, Daniel Picken, Joshua Fletcher, and Antonio Brennan. Thank you.
All aboard the Heaven-Bound train. This train will be leaving in 5 minutes.
Please have your tickets ready for inspection.
Yes. I need it by tomorrow. 50,000? No problem. Just make sure I have it first thing tomorrow.
Good afternoon, sir. Can I see your ticket, please, for the Heaven-Bound train?
Ticket? No. I haven't had time to get one, but I'm sure you can get me one. Now, how much do I owe you?
Oh no, sir, you can't buy a ticket for this train.
Can't buy a ticket? Don't be silly. Of course I can buy a ticket. I've got plenty of money here.
I'm sorry, but you cannot buy one of these tickets.
Everything has a price, and if anyone around here can afford one, it's me. Now I want to buy a first-class ticket.
Sir, I don't think you understand. You cannot buy a ticket for this train because the tickets have already been paid for. You must accept it as a gift.
These tickets are without money and without price, and everyone travels first class in the Heaven-Bound train.
Well, that's just ridiculous. I've never heard the like of it in my life.
Oh dear, this suitcase is so heavy.
I know. Mine weighs a ton.
Let me help you with those cases, ladies.
Thank you, young man.
It's funny. Oh, my back is sore. My knees are sore.
Well, ladies, where the Heaven-Bound train is going, there'll be no more pains or sickness, and there'll be no more tears or sorrows either.
That sounds great. Now hurry along and get all our baggage on.
We're not getting any younger, you know.
What does it all anyway? It weighs a ton.
Well, I've got my church membership certificate. I've got my baptism record. I've got my choir music.
I've got my record of giving to the building fund. I've got my award of 40 years of charity collections. I think I've even got my cycling proficiency in there too.
Well, you both have been busy, but have you got your tickets?
Tickets? No. Surely we don't need tickets when you see all these other things.
I'm sorry, madam, but the only way onto the Heaven-Bound train is with a ticket.
For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
Well, we'll see about that. I'll be speaking to your supervisor.
Is this the way to the Heaven-Bound train?
Yes, sir, going in the right direction.
Have you got your ticket with you?
Oh, I don't need one of them. You'll know my dad. He works for the train company.
Oh, So does he now? I'm afraid you'll still need your own ticket.
Oh, I forgot to tell you, my mum's already on the train. She'll be worried about me wondering where I've got to, so I'll just go and join mum in the train.
I'm sorry, but I can't let you on without your own ticket. Every one of us shall give account of himself to God.
Well, if I couldn't afford a ticket, there's not much hope for these pair.
They've got absolutely nothing with them.
How can they expect to get on?
Hello, I see you're heading for the Heavenbound train.
Yes, we are. We've got our tickets.
Great, let me check them.
Safe through Jesus' blood. Yes, that's fine. Enjoy your journey.
Just hold on a minute. How come they are getting on the train and we didn't?
I asked Jesus to wash away my sin. His death on the cross paid the price for my ticket because I could never have paid it.
That's what I've been trying to tell you all.
You can't buy one of these tickets. You can't work for one. And it doesn't matter who you are. You need your own ticket.
The price has already been paid, and the only way to get one is by accepting God's offer to the gift of salvation.
Don't think about it too long. The train's getting ready to leave.
Well done, children. Elaine said she forgot they were singing, but really she wanted two claps for her class, so I think that's what it was. Thank you, Jesus. This is a singing piece, and thankfully just two names to read out. Grace Glenn and Katrina Nicol.
To Calvary.
A beautiful piece and beautifully sung. Thank you, girls. One of the great missionaries of all time was a man by the name of C.T. Studd. And we're going to have the story now done in sketch form. No sacrifice too great. Ben Galt, Jed Owens, Aaron Johnston, Keris Parrock, Rebecca Owens, Jenny McCahan, and Gemma Halliday.
Charles Studd's father, Edward Studd, was an extremely wealthy businessman who had made his fortune in India and had come home to England to spend it. He was very fond of sport, but above all was his passion for horse racing. This afternoon he had planned to meet young Charles after his university classes had finished.
Someday I'll get my own bag and just you wait. Anyway, how did the cricket go today? I hear you're going to captain the varsity side. Actually, there's a picture of you here in this paper. If you hadn't approved it.
Wait till you hear this. Fabian Slagers are down at the training field today, and they want me to play for England against Australia in the Ashes series. I can't wait to tell Father the news.
I wonder where your father's taking you tonight. Here there's a great show on at the theatre, the Christy Minstrels, I think it's called.
Well, we won't have to wait long. Evening, Father.
Good evening, Emma. Good evening, Charles. Are you ready? Let's go.
Edward Studd was not taking his sons to the theatre. He had a different idea completely.
Where are we going, Father?
Well, Charles, I might as well tell you. My friend, Mr. Vincent, took me to hear the American evangelist, Mr. Moody, preach, and I've been converted. No more betting or racing for me. I found the real thing.
But, Father, does an Englishman need converted? I thought that was only for heathens like Africans, Indians, or Chinese.
Son, let's go and hear for yourself.
Charles did hear Moody preach and Sankey sing, but for a whole year he withstood the call of the Saviour.
I say, it's good to get away from Fowler and off to cricket practice. He never stops preaching. It's like he almost follows you about the house with a sermon. Thank goodness there'll be no preachers at cricket practice.
Excuse me, young man. Can you give me directions to the stud home?
Of course I can. I'm Charles. I live there. Who are you?
I'm a preacher, young man. Mr. Studd has asked me to preach in his home tonight.
A preacher, sir? Did you really say a preacher, sir?
You seem surprised, young man. Why is that?
Well, it's just that,
Well, tell me, young man, are you a Christian? Are you saved? Have you had your sins forgiven?
Yes, sir. I don't know, sir. I've heard the gospel many times, but I've never asked God for his salvation.
Son, let's have a wee chat about it. What did you say earlier, Moose?
That day, C.T. Studd accepted Christ as a saviour and was gloriously saved. The visiting preacher there that evening had also the joy of leading his two brothers, Keniston and George, to Christ as well. Charles did go on to play cricket for England, and by 1882 was considered one of the best cricket players in the world. Throughout England, his fame as a cricketer had made C.T. Studd a household name, but God had other plans for this young man's life.
Listen, girls, I really feel God wants me to go to China.
China, Charles. Do they play cricket in China?
No, but it's given me a real burden for those in China who have never heard of Jesus and what he has done for them.
But you have so much here, Charles. Why would you leave it all behind?
You're so famous. All that training and all that practice. You're at the peak of your career.
Yeah, and what about your inheritance? Will you sacrifice that?
Listen, girls. If Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him.
Charles arrived in Shanghai on the 18th of March, 1885, and immediately began to study the language, sometimes in sessions of 10 hours per day. He dressed like the Chinese and insisted on eating with and like they did.
Good morning, Mr. Studd. My name is Mr. James, and I'm the British Consul here in Shanghai. I'm sure you're aware today is your 25th birthday, and I've been instructed to inform you of your inheritance sent by Father Mr. Edward Studd. This will make you a very rich man, Mr. Studd. I have here a cheque for you of over £145,000.
Thank you, Mr. Consul. Would you be kind enough to carry out some instructions regarding the money?
Certainly, Mr. Studd.
Please send £25,000 to Mr. Mueller for his orphanage, £25,000 to Mr. Moody for his Bible college in Chicago, £25,000 to Mr. George Holland for his work amongst the poor in London, and £25,000 to Commissioner Booth Tugger for his Salvation Army in India. Oh, and here's a list of some other needy causes. Send them £5,000 each.
I can't do that, Charles. This is your inheritance.
Why not?
Mr. Studd, how could you possibly give away all that money? That would leave us with only about £20,000. It's way too big a sacrifice.
Listen, Mr. Consul. If Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him.
You really believe that, don't you?
I most certainly do, sir. Thank you.
In 1887, Priscilla Stewart arrived in Shanghai from Belfast and began to work in a sailor's home where Charles was holding meetings and seeking to win souls to Christ. In 1888, they were married by Pastor Shi, and later Charles had a generous wedding gift for his new bride.
Priscilla, here is something I want to give you. It's the remaining £17,000 from my inheritance. It will help us set up home together.
But Charles, what did the Lord tell the rich young man to do? Sell all. Well, then we will start off married life in the clear with the Lord.
You're right, dear. I'll write to Commissioner Booth and tell him there's another 17,000 on his way.
C.T. Studd served God for 10 years in inland China, preaching the gospel and operating a drug refuge centre for opium addicts. He returned to England in 1894 with his wife and four daughters. He travelled throughout England and America, speaking at various meetings and conferences. In 1906, he decided to fulfil his father's dying wish and take the gospel to India, where he received a tremendous reception due to his cricketing fame. But in 1908, he felt God calling him to Africa, so he left his wife, who was unable to accompany him due to illness, in England and set sail alone. For 12 years, he was apart from his beloved wife, who stayed at home and helped establish a missionary society called the Worldwide Evangelistic Crusade, or WEC. This was a tremendous sacrifice for Charles, but this was, after all, the man who truly believed.
If Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him.
That was a lovely piece of history, especially in the history of the church, when we think of C.T. Studd and what he sacrificed and what he gave up. There is a little urn, and it's called the Ashes, and I think you've all heard about it in the news. And it's only about 11 centimeters high. It's made of terracotta. And C.T. Studd is one of the four names on that urn. He was a very, very famous cricketer, but he gave it up to be a missionary for Christ. The final item tonight is the Bible class, and the Bible class are going to sing, assisted by their two Bible class leaders. So we invite them to come and take part.
Saying that I was taking part. The part that he omitted was that he was also taking part. So this is the beginning of our singing career as a duet. Where is he now? Oh, he's there. I just wanted to make sure they hadn't disappeared.
Hopshall. It is on, but can you hear me now? You could hear me before. Where's my technology? LCD. This is all plugged in. We'll just wait a wee minute and it'll all come together. You know it was working earlier? Just while we're waiting, we'll sing deep and wide. We'll sing deep and wide. All right. That'll help you sort of loosen up, waken up a wee bit. All right. Deep and wide, deep and wide. Anybody know where that is? Daniel? Slemish. Okay, Slemish is very, very well known. You see it when you're driving down to Ballymena. It's a funny shape of a mountain, isn't it? Just flat on the top. Don't know whether anyone has ever climbed it or not. But it is. It's very, very famous because it reminds us of a man called Patrick. Who has heard of Patrick, the patron saint of Ireland? Put your hand up if you've ever heard of St. Patrick. He lived a long time ago. I don't think any of the Sunday school teachers even remember him. 389 AD. All right, so that's from back over 16 centuries ago. He was born in Scotland. Did you know that? Born in Scotland. He was born at a very early age. He was even younger than you. Yes, I know that. When he was 16, he was kidnapped and he was sold as a slave to a Druid chieftain that lived in Northern Ireland. And that's when he came here to work as a shepherd with the sheep. All right. It was during that time that he was converted. His father was actually a deacon and his grandfather was a minister of the gospel, and so he knew the gospel,
And when he was in Ireland, he got converted. And then he escaped from slavery. And he went back to Scotland. But the Lord began to call him to be a missionary. And where do you think God called him to go? They say it was like a Macedonian call to Ireland. And he could see a man, as it were, in his dreams, saying, come over to Ireland and bring us the gospel, just like the Macedonian call. And so he came back to Ireland at the age of 40. And for 33 years, he toured Northern Ireland. And it says that, or Ireland, in fact, and it says that Ireland was evangelized in those 33 years. So, very, very famous man. And it reminds us, of course, of one of the great stories in the Bible. It's the story of the shepherd and the sheep. And I want to read just some verses to you tonight from Luke chapter 15, verses 3 to 7. You'll see them up here on the screen. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Now that story will remind you of the most famous Old Testament chapter. It's the Psalm 23. And the Psalm 23 begins with the words, and I think some of you will have memorized this, the Lord is my shepherd. Who knows Psalm 23? Who knows that line? And then there's a lovely verse in Isaiah. It's a beautiful picture about the shepherd and the sheep. And it says, he shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom. And children, this is all a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, the shepherd, and you and I that are the sheep. And when you come to the New Testament, the Lord Jesus is called the Good Shepherd. Does anybody know a verse that has the Good Shepherd in it in John chapter 10? I am the Good Shepherd, the Good Shepherd. Do you know the rest of it, anyone? Giveth his life for the sheep. And that reminds us, and I want you to listen to this big word, redemption. All right? To redeem something means that you buy something. And the Lord Jesus Christ, our shepherd, he has bought our salvation with his own blood. He's not only called the Good Shepherd, he's called the Great Shepherd. And the Great Shepherd reminds us of his resurrection. When you read about it in the New Testament, it is to do with the Lord rising again on the third day. And Easter is coming up very soon, and we will be remembering not only that Jesus died and paid the price for our sin, but we will remember that he rose again. Children, Jesus is alive, and he's alive forevermore. And then Peter calls him the chief shepherd. And the chief shepherd is all about the return of Christ. He's coming back again. Are you ready for his coming back again? Because you need redemption. You need salvation. You need to know that in your life and your heart. For the Lord Jesus one day is going to come back to this world again, and we need to be ready. So those are wonderful things that we learn about the shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the Bible. But you and I are just like sheep. All right? We're just like the sheep that we've read about in the Word of God tonight. A sheep that goes astray, a sheep that needs to be found, and a sheep, if you come to Christ, will be carried to the fold and saved forevermore. And so I'm going to talk to you tonight about the parable of the lost sheep. All right? You know the story, but here's just some things to remember at the close of this little time together tonight. The first thing I want you to notice is that The sheep wandered away and got lost. That's what happens to sheep. If you don't look after them, if you don't take care of them, it's the natural thing for a sheep to go astray. In fact, the Bible says, all we like sheep, every one of us, none excluded, we've gone astray. Doesn't matter how old you are, from the littlest to the oldest, we've gone astray, we've turned to our own way. And the sheep got lost. And that's how the Bible sees us tonight. Without Christ the shepherd, we are lost sheep. We're lost in our sin, and one day we will be lost forevermore unless we are found. And children, you need to know that tonight. And mums and dads, you need to understand that tonight. It's a very basic truth to get into your heart regarding the gospel. Before you can ever be saved, you need to know, I'm lost. I'm lost. But another wonderful thing is, I'm not only a lost sheep, but the shepherd went to seek. He went to seek. I'm a sought sheep. And I can just picture in my mind this story, this parable that the Lord Jesus Christ is telling about the 100 sheep that are in the fold, and there's one out there, it's gone astray on the mountains. Don't know whether you can just picture Slemish, or maybe the mountains of Mourne, or maybe Knocklead, or some other place where there might be sheep. And you just picture in your mind a sheep that has got lost, but here's a shepherd. And out he goes over the mountains and through the valleys, and he's searching. He's searching for the lost sheep. And you know the Lord Jesus Christ, the shepherd, he's searching. He comes searching whenever the Word of God is opened. Whenever we come to church and Sunday school and children's meetings and here in the Lord's Day, we'll listen to the Word. Jesus Christ, the shepherd, he's searching. He's searching for lost sheep. He's searching tonight. Tonight, searching you and you, some of the older ones too. And not only do we think of the sheep lost and the sheep sought, but the sheep was found. What a delight it must have been for the shepherd to find that lost sheep, having searched over the mountains and through the valleys. It's a wonderful thing when we're found of the Lord, children. And we are to seek the Lord while he may be found. And we are to call upon him while he is near. And he's near tonight. And as the Lord Jesus Christ searches out for the lost sheep, and he speaks to that person, and that person realizes the shepherd is seeking for me. It's a wee bit different maybe than in the story, but that the Lord finds you. The Lord finds you. And you need to come and trust him and put your faith and trust in him. And that's what it means to be really found by the Lord, to repent of your sin and to seek Jesus Christ as your Savior. And then, of course, there was a time of rejoicing. The sheep was rejoiced over. The shepherd was so delighted when he found the sheep. And when he carried the sheep home, he got his neighbors in, called them in. I want you to come in and rejoice with me, for I have found the sheep that was lost. It was a very, very happy time. And whenever sheep are found by the Lord, it rejoices our heart. You know, when Sunday school teachers hear of the children in their class coming to know the Lord as their Savior, it really makes them happy. There's no joy like the joy in seeing someone found and brought to Christ. And the church rejoices, and the minister rejoices, and the elders rejoice. And you know what else? Heaven rejoices. Because the Lord Jesus tells us, when one sinner repents, even there in heaven, in the presence of the angels of God, there's great joy. What a wonderful thing it is to be found by the Lord, brought to him, and what joy it brings to our hearts. And then, children, once you come to know the Lord, do you know what he does for you? He carries you. Carries you through life's journey. And we see the sheep being carried by the shepherd. And whenever we're in difficulty, whenever we're passing through hard times especially, it's good to know that we're on the shoulders of the shepherd, and the shoulders speak of power. All right, the Lord supporting us and helping us through. And then we think of being held to his bosom, how he loves us dearly. I wonder tonight, do you know the Lord as your Savior? He's come searching. He's been speaking to you in Sunday school. He's been speaking to you in church. Have you come to put your faith and trust in him as the Savior? Do you know him as the shepherd of your soul? Oh, I trust tonight, even at our Sunday school social, that some boy or girl or even growing up will come and know the Lord as their Savior and be found of him tonight. And that will bring great joy to our hearts. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Please keep that in mind. Let's have a wee word of prayer just before we sing. Lord, we give thanks for helping the children tonight to take part. We thank thee for the things that they've learned since last year, coming to class and hearing your word. Thank thee for the things that they've learned even through what they've done for the social. Bless the children, we pray. We pray that every one of them will be a found sheep, will come to know the Lord as their Savior, and be found in the fold of God, and go one day to heaven, saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless the children and those that have responsibility in training them in the things of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So we have a closing hymn just before I hand over to the superintendent, Wesley. He's going to speak to you, tell you something very special that's happening later on this year, and then give out the prizes. It is the hymn 701. Is that right? No, it's a little bit later, 719. There is a city bright. Speaks about heaven here. Closed are its gates to sin. Not or nothing that defileth can ever enter in. And then we have this prayer in verse 2. Savior, I come to thee. O Lamb of God, I pray, cleanse me and save me. Wash all my sins away. We're going to sing just those two verses, verses 1 and 2 of 719. Let's stand to sing. If someone was to come in sincerity tonight and pray what we've just sung, cleanse me and save me, you know the Lord will hear that prayer and he'll do just that. He'll come and cleanse you and he'll make you his child. He'll make you one of the found sheep. Superintendent, we thank you for the work of the past year. You and the teachers of our Sunday school really appreciate all the hard work that goes in, and especially bringing this together for tonight. And we're just going to hand over now to Wesley. He has something to tell us, and then the prizes will be given out.
Okay, boys. Really good so far, so we want you to get up just for another few moments. I know it's probably past your bedtime, past my bedtime, but we want you just to wait for a few moments. I know it's been a long night, but we're almost there. Thank you very much, Mr. Park, for bringing the message. I hope the boys and girls listened very carefully to that. I want to thank our teachers. Reverend Park has already thanked you, but I want to say another word of thanks for all your work throughout the year, and especially for bringing everything together tonight. And for those that have helped in the media team, and for Margaret helping out in the musical item, we really appreciate that. And to you parents, I want to thank you for getting the boys and girls up on the Sunday morning and getting them out to Sunday school. Us teachers came here and there was no kids, it wouldn't be much fun. So we really do appreciate you sending them along every Sunday. And boys and girls, you could all give yourselves a pat on the back because you did really, really well tonight. You did so well whenever you sang and all your sketches and all your plays. I was really proud of you, and I'm sure your parents were too, and your teachers also. Now, I want to say, before we come to our prizes, I want to say something about our Sunday school camp. For the past 5 years, my wife Helen, myself, Samuel and Eileen, Jonathan and Ruth, and various of our other teachers, Jane's come with us, Lydia's come with us, Andrew and Rebecca have been with us, and some other, Sharon's been with us. We've went and we've had a Sunday school camp, and we've taken along usually about 30 of the children, and we've went to different venues, and we've had lots of fun. We've had lots of good times. We've really got to know the boys and girls. And most of all, we've had the privilege, and it's been a real privilege, of being able to teach them the things of God and tell them Bible stories, sing choruses with them, learn verses, do quizzes. And one very special part of our camp is having our prayer time when the boys and girls pray, and it's great to listen to maybe as many as 15 or more boys and girls praying together. So it's been a really good time. But we thought tonight that we would put together some pictures, just about 3 minutes, so to let everybody see what we get up to when we're away and on camp. So if the guys upstairs can hit the button, hopefully you'll see. And boys and girls, you watch very carefully, because you might just see yourself, and you might just see how much you've changed, some of you, in 5 years. Thank you, Samuel, for putting that all together. So as you can see, we've had lots of fun. And I just want to remind you that this year's camp is 13th to the 16th of August. We go away for 3 days, 2 overnights, and we'd love you to join us. Now, we've got about 30 spaces, so the forms will be coming out in the next week or so, and the first 30 people to get back are very welcome to join us. And if you haven't been to camp before, or your kids haven't been to camp before, don't worry, we do look at, despite what you saw up there, we do look after them really, really well. And even whenever they get a wee bit homesick, Jonathan is the great comforter, and he can sort all that there out. So don't worry about that, we look after them. We're going to come now to our prize given, and if Mrs. Park and Siri could come and give us some help to give out the prizes. We'll try and move through them just as quickly as we possibly can. The first prizes we have tonight, we're going to give out tonight, first of all, are our full attendance. Don't miss a single day at Sunday school. And that was very difficult this year because we had an awful lot of sickness and an awful lot of flu. But believe it or not, the children, many of them were able to be here the whole year without missing a single day. So that was really good. Okay, let's start. Full attendance, Alice McLernan. Well done, Alice. Scott Blair. Well done, Scott. Kerry Halliday. Well done, Kerry. Naomi Johnson. Toby McCauley. Well done, Toby. Ben Galt. Sarah Halliday. Emma Dunlop. Jenny McCacken. Gemma Halliday. Abby Halliday. Cherith Galt. Sarah Johnson. Lewis Elliott. Kyle Blair. Jonathan Ray. Lydia Owens. Isaac Atkinson. Haley Jean Gray. Well done, Haley. And last but not least, Catherine McCauley. Now, boys and girls, if you didn't get a shield this year, Emma, did you? Emma, you didn't get yours. Maybe you missed your name. Well done. If you didn't get a shield this year, there's always next year. You know, I want to tell you a wee story before we move on. I was visiting one of our senior members of the congregation, and she was telling me that she has not missed a day. Now, I'll not tell you what age she is, but she's a bit older, quite a bit older than me. But she has not missed a day at church for 10 years. Now, isn't that tremendous? Now, if she can do that, well, I think the boys and girls, you could come to Sunday school every day and get a shield next year. Sorry I haven't a shield for you, Pearly, but I'll get you one next year. Okay. Right, let's move on to the prizes. The boys and girls get prizes for attendance and for examination. So I'm going to call out a few names at the one time so as we can... So if we call out five names, the children come up and then you can clap. Might speed things up a little bit. Antonio Brennan, Matthew Cole, Joshua Fletcher, and Daniel Pickin. Robert Watley, Lewis Parrock, Ruben Borland, Casey Connor, and Taylor Elliott. Haley Jane Gray, Faye Campbell, and Lewis McConaughey. Maggie Grace McLernan and Lexi McGurkin. Ella Irwin and Arthur Newell. Isabella Stewart. Casey McGuckin. Parian Ijaz. Grace McCandless, Bethana McBride Hadja, Emily Parrock, and Tommy Watley. Jemima Owens, Jake Borland, and Lewis Elliott. Adam Archibald, Kyle Connor, and Andrew Archibald. Charlie Newell and Seth Campbell. Harley McCaw. Lydia Owens. Emma Dunlop, Ellie McLernan, Elisa Nickel, Leah Atkinson, Elijah Owens, Joah Owens, and Kyle Blair. Lucas Blair and Lennon Blair. Zach Kane and Sophie McCauley. Layla McBride Hadja and Luke McCauley. Naomi Johnson, Millie Blair, Alice McLernan, and Kenzie Gordon. Ashton White and Kendra Elliott. Katrina Nickel and Madison Barron. Grace Glenn and Rebecca Owens. Karis Parrock and Aaron Johnson. Kerry Halliday. Samuel Pickering, Keziah Owens, and Sophie Barron. Isaac Atkinson, and Jonathan Ray. Natasha Cole, Sarah Glenn, and Cherith Galt. Abby Halliday, and Catherine McCauley. Rebecca Blair, and Sarah Johnson. Jordan McCauley, Scott Blair, and Toby McCauley. Jenny McCacken and Ben Galt. Bethany Fletcher and Jed Owens. Sarah Halliday and Alicia Morrison. And Sophia McCandless. Now we come to the Bible class, and they deserve these for singing so well tonight, but unfortunately there's none for Mervyn or his friend. Okay. Aaron Galt, Anna Pickin, Chloe McCauley, Christopher Blair. Daniel Glenn, David Stewart, Emily Hanna, and Jonathan Story. Joshua Park, Lewis McCauley, and Lydia Moore. Lydia Pickin and Rebecca McCauley. Rebecca Ray and William McDermott. Now we have some prizes here for the little ones who are not yet at Sunday school but come to church on a Sunday morning, and many of them sit in the cry room, and we hope to see you at Sunday school in a year or so's time. So I'm going to call out these names, and if you're here or your brother and sister's here, they can come and get them for you. Ava Fletcher, Abigail Bernabeu, Daniel Newell. James Watley and James Irwin. Charlie Borland and Alex Kane. Cassia Park, Susanna Park, and Seth Hegarty. Harry Moore and Daniel Archibald. Caleb McConaughey and Daniel McClelland and Michael McClelland. Andrew McConaughey and Robin Morrison. Right, I think that's all. If you haven't got a prize tonight, if you come up here and see City, well, she'll try and sort out that for you. Okay, that's all. Apologies to Phil there. I took a memory blank and couldn't remember Clerk of Session's name, so that's why I called him Mervyn's friend. But he is Mervyn's friend and has been Mervyn's friend for many a year, so apologies for that. Okay, I'm going to hand back to Reverend Park.
Wesley, to close in prayer, it's always a joy to thank two people annually at the Sabbath School Social for the work that they do on a week-by-week basis. They play the organ and the piano on the Lord's Day, and then Thursday nights, mission times, Bible conferences, all these things. And we want to acknowledge our two sisters in Christ. First of all, our organist, Lorna. Pardon me. Lorna, thank you. Well done. Do you want to say anything? Do you want to sing a solo or do you want a duet with Diane? No. And Diane, our pianist. Diane, do you want to sing?
Thank you
very much. I asked them both if they wanted to sing and they declined, but we do thank them sincerely and in the Lord's name for what they do week by week. Remember, there's supper and thanks will be given, so we'll ask Wesley to close in prayer.
Right, boys and girls, let's all fold our arms and close our eyes just the same as we do on Sunday morning and Sunday school. That's good. Nice and quiet, all eyes closed, nice and still. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy presence with us here at our Sunday school social even tonight. We thank thee for the boys and girls who took part so well, and we thank you for the messages that were contained in the parts that they sang and recited. And we thank thee for thy word brought so clearly by the Reverend Park. No, Lord, we just pray now that as we go to partake of the food that is provided, you pray that you'll bless it to us. We give thee thanks for it, for we ask it for thy name's sake. Amen. Yeah, the food is be served in the church hall in the Carson complex, so if you just head that direction there, out through the doors. And if the boys and girls want to give their prizes to